research, supporting additional research. That comment was particularly with respect to solar and solar roads. And also one strong recommendation that was pretty uniform from EPA and others was sustainable use of our right-of-way. So EPA was very supportive of the Monarch Habitat project or program, and others kind of reiterated that support and looking for us to develop other uses other than just planting regular seed per se in our right-of-way as part of our projects. So with those comments, we made what I recommend edits to the policy, and also Director Wolf provided us some comments as well, and we addressed those. So hopefully that's a little less,
that's great,
or a little more appropriate, should I say. So what you have before you there is the red line markup of the policy or of the draft, and based on your review and feedback, I would encourage that we adopt this. And I know I overstepped my bounds a couple times last time, and so I'll leave it up to you, Chair, to put forward the motion. But yeah, I guess before we go into that, are there any questions or thoughts, last remaining comments that anybody may have on this, any other discussion items that you would like to bring up?
I think this is consistent with what came out of this committee, and appreciate the, you know, the comments that we got from the six entities or groups that you know, reviewed it and took the time to provide us with the same. And you know, I think this is a good step for this organization, you know, guiding our operations. And I give Director Weisner a lot of credit too, because I know this has been a push on his part.
I just like to echo those sentiments.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
So we have one more presentation, and then we'll get to the various action items on the agenda. As we have discussed also at previous meetings and been directed by the committee, the tollway staff has been directed by this committee to develop a policy about excess right-of-way and annexation. So we will at times get requests from communities along the tollway system to either take over right-of-way or declare right-of-way that we, you know, purchased or have in holding with the tollway, to declare it excess and turn it over to them for some reason, or annex tollway right-of-way or property in order to maybe get to another annexation that they're looking for. We thought that it best to get some guidance from the board and create a policy around these two practices so that we don't get too far down the road. You often don't see those requests until we're almost done with them at the board level, and we wanted to give everybody an opportunity to weigh in on and help us create a policy so that the public will know what their expectation should be if they want to take any of these actions or work with the tollway on either getting excess right-of-way or annexing some portion of our property. But also so that we will have clarity as to the kind of board's concerns and areas of interest when it comes to these activities. So Rocco Zuccaro is the person who often works with these requests as they come in from communities and others across the system. So he's going to walk us through, you know, the current authorization, kind of current condition, and also hopefully we can have a little bit of a discussion around, you know, broad-ranging policy.
Thank you. Joanne Penn is also here, who from the land acquisition unit as well. So at the sake of time, I'm just going to try to really hit some of the highlights of what we've done over the last couple months since we last discussed this at the November Customer Service and Planning Committee. This is basically what we're going to go over, the existing authorization that we have. We've done some review of some other agencies, which I'll go over. We'll do an overview of our proposed policies. We're going to do this in two. We're going to have an access right-of-way policy and an annexation policy that will ultimately be folded into an overall land acquisition manual, which is comparable to what we've done with some of the other policies that we've had on the environmental side. We'll go through some policy consideration discussions. We've tried to address some of your comments and have maybe a little bit more of a discussion about what we have in the policy specifically, and then what some of the next steps are. Really what our goal is today is, you know, we've received feedback, we'll continue to get feedback from the board, but really to start the put the policy on the journey to actually being adopted. So what we would really like is to put this policy out for some public feedback and comment and go right to some of the key stakeholders, legislators, communities, counties that we've been dealing with all the time. So at the end of the day, that's what we really like to do, is get this out into other people's hands to start reviewing. For the sake of time, again, I'm not going to read this. Basically, we have authorization to dispose of excess right-of-way through both the Toll Highway Act and the Trust Indenture. These are the specific references to the Act and the Indenture that allow us to do such. Briefly, our overview of the existing policy practice. This is what I went over it back in November. But just to refresh you a little bit, it's, again, guided by the Act and the Indenture. Right now, we receive, I would say, about 20 or so plus requests annually for access parcel review. We really haven't brought anything to the board over the last couple of years. We've focused primarily on the Move Illinois program and delivering the Move Illinois program, acquiring land, and actually the land that we have right now, we're using as much of it as possible to help deliver our projects. But we are starting to realize that there is a need to, instead of being in a reactive position, to look more proactively in the context of our capital plans and projects. We have, you know, the way we dispose of excess property right now, we can do it two primary ways. We do it through an intergovernmental agreement with a public agency as part of a project, or through a negotiation, or we would do it by a public bidding process through a sealed bid process. We really haven't gone through that again in several years now. But ultimately, what's important is that you know, the tollway board is the ultimate approver of anything that any action that we do. That's the way it is today, and we'll always continue to have it that way. A recap of some of your input from the last meeting. We had a bit of a discussion about public purpose and trying to define what a public purpose is on the property itself to give us some flexibility of how we could address the needs of this agency as well as other public agencies who might be looking at opportunities to develop the land and for maybe a park or maybe for some other economic development purpose. So there was some discussion of that we tried to address within the policy that we have today, or the draft policy. The other things that we've heard about was the concern for our long-term impact and land use restrictions. We want to make sure that future development considers really what we are today and what we want to be in the future, and also looking at compatibility with adjacent land uses. So we've got some thought in the new policy to try to address that, which again, I'll go through that in the coming slide. Key also is balancing the interest of the tollway and opportunities to lease or sell. Primarily, we've sold now. Leasing is really limited to when there's an encroachment or something like that. But what was asked of us is look at, you know, get ideas of what those income-producing opportunities are for us, or maybe the requesting party, to really get a better understanding of that. We wanted to be accommodating to other public entities. I think that was very much a consideration. And then that was also brought up that we need to prioritize our interests, financial or otherwise. We want to make sure the policy is flexible, provide really a framework for making future decisions, and then ultimately our goal is to best serve the needs of tollway customers, bondholders, and the communities that we serve. There were some requests for us to look at of other agencies. You know, we saw the speed limit discussion. This is, you know, really one of the best ways to formulate what you might want to do is to see what others are doing. So we did quite a bit of research actually. Thankfully, we had an intern who was really great for us this year, and he did a lot of the research for us, so we put him to some real work, and he did a phenomenal amount of research looking at different policies from different agencies, about a dozen or so, I think maybe it was 13. But some of the key areas that we really use to guide what we have on paper today and put the framework are listed right here. Well, it's not necessarily cross-reference on it. These are some of the key areas that we really looked at, is how others identify excess right-of-way proactively and reactively, what kind of information is requested,
from the entity requesting access right-of-way. How we, you know, we incorporate preliminary and formal review. We look at, you know, the opportunities for public use and how it's sold or transferred for public use. Opportunities to go to the former owner or an adjacent property owner for consideration as maybe as a first step priority. Looking at the possibilities for flexibility or optional procedures, we saw that called out in some policies, so really needing that ultimate amount of flexibility. However, others have addressed long-term protective measures and annexation and whatnot. These are some of the things that we use to develop the policy, the draft policy that is before today. So really, it was Joanne and her staff who developed this policy, and this is really the heart of the presentation, and maybe, you know, pull out some discussion here about what we've done and to make sure this is kind of in line with what expectations are. So we'll still have a multi-step review process. There's an informal review process done just by land acquisition staff, and there's a formal review committee of multiple departments within the agency who get engaged in the declaration of access. As I said previously, we were pretty much reactive, waiting for requests to come in. But now in the context of the projects that we're delivering, Interstate 294-57, Elgin O'Hare Western Access, now that, you know, we're moving into that project, we're starting to see that there will be some potential excess property associated with those projects. And we're actually getting some requests from the communities now to start declaring excess right away. We're way too early to do that. But we wanted to make sure that we are proactively starting to review in the context of the design and the construction of the projects, identifying what we need for roadway itself, what we need for staging of construction materials. And then when we're done with construction, what potentially could be deemed excess. So staff, in conjunction with our consultants now on these projects, starting to look at what could be deemed excess. So again, more of a proactive review on our part. One of the, you know, I guess really these next two things is really where we try to focus on the public use, the economic benefits, getting the right type of information from the requesting parties. What we really never had previously is we didn't really understand what the formally requesting what the use of that long-term use was going to be on the property. So with the policy now, there's a list of information that we are requesting from the party who comes to us asking us to declare land access. We want to know existing use of the land, future use of the land, any land use or zoning requirements or proposed changes, just, you know, the general land type of issues. The intent of this is to really get an understanding, again, of how we can best protect our long-term interest. If it's a non-compatible use, we want to get that, get an understanding of really what's going to happen to there. If it's going to be used for public, is it going to be held in the public interest, or is it something that will be assembled with other adjacent properties for a future private development? And if there is a private development, this is the other thing that we're looking for now, is to help us make the right decisions. What's the economic impact or tax generation from that future use of the property? Really to help us define the public benefit.
May I ask a question?
Sure, absolutely.
The specifying intent and future use, are you at the point where you're thinking that there would be some kind of long-term covenant on that?
Possibly. Again, we want, so what we're trying to do with everything is to give us the most amount of flexibility. If it's a, so there's the two ways to get rid of, to dispose of excess properties, sealed public option, or through an IGA. If there is, is through an IGA, we could put covenants on either way, you know, if it's public. So again, if it's a, for example, one issue that we run into a lot is residential development being built next to the tollway. That's fine. It's not really compatible with the use of the road, but I understand if it's vacant land that's not producing any income, doesn't really have any other value except for maybe residential. So maybe there's a covenant that's associated with this sale to make it very clear that if there is residential or some form of non-compatible use, like that, that the developer, whoever would be the community, would be responsible for mitigating efforts for that. So as opposed to us coming in and having to build some water system or noise wall, whatever it might be. So yeah, that was what we would like. So the more information we have about the use of it, it allows us to include the proper covenants within the deed documents or whatever it may be at the end of the day. So we'll get information back from a staff perspective, things that we'll look at, and I want to make sure, you know, these are, if there's other thoughts about the items that the board would like us to consider, things, as I said, we would look at, you know, how the total use of the property today, is it a roadway, is it just open right-of-way, is it, you know, I don't know how, it could be maybe storage area, so understanding how we would use our property today. We would look at the size and the location of the existing parcel, the future land use, like I said, surrounding zoning or land use, assessing maybe some of the market demand of the property itself, other factors affecting marketability, assembly of properties. We would also look at traffic and toll revenue, perchance, to kind of get us an understanding of what the overall benefit or impact is on us, because we could see that an overprescribed development could adversely affect our traffic operations on the road. So those are generally some of the things that we would look at, but are there things from the board perspective that you would like us, from the staff? Again, we are going to request information from a certain party, but are there things that we should be directing staff to consider? If anybody has any other thoughts about that. From a tax perspective, any type of information that we would like to see? Right now, it's just kind of general.
Well, number one, Rocco, I appreciate, you know, the form that this has come back in after you got the comments from us before, and I think that we talked about wanting to provide kind of a structural overview, but allowing there to be some flexibility for this and for future boards. You know, one of the things that we find is the more successful we are in our mission of creating and developing and expanding roadways that effectively move traffic, you know, it creates potential benefits and new uses for land along our roadways. I'm not sure that, you know, as you kind of posed that question, you know, specific information regarding, I think I like the structure that it's in where it provides the overview and the assessment, and on a case-by-case basis we're going to take a look at it. I think, you know, it's a big point on number three here, the economic impact and tax generation analysis. I'm afraid if we get too borne in right now on what we want for specific criteria that we may miss things as it moves forward. And I kind of like the overview portion of this policy as it would direct the just moving forward versus, you know, providing just specific criteria that would limit that.
Kind of how we thought about it too, and provide information. And it's not to say that when we get information from a party that we're done, we could always go back and ask for more clarification on whatever it is as we go forward. And I think what we've also tried to do, again, things that where it gets a little more interesting is going to be with public entities, when we're, you know, if there's some assemblage of properties that we're starting, again, what we're foreseeing is that they, as we start wrapping up, I'm going to say in particular with the Ultimate Air Project, because you are more of a commercial or industrial type of an area, there are going to be some opportunities for assemblage with others. And this, you know, this kind of our core mission too is economic development. So I think where it'll be interesting as far as this perspective is anytime we deal with another public entity. So we have a couple different ways that we are proposing, again, to...
I'm sorry, may I just ask one more question?
Sure.
And I should know the answer to this, but before you ever get to any of this, somebody has concluded that this is not needed by us or surplus property.
So the first, yeah, that's an excellent question. So the order of operations, basically somebody will come in or send us a letter saying, well, we get a lot of these versions in right now. Somebody will say, well, do you need this property? Is it excess?
the first thing staff will do, Joanne, staff will look at it and get a sense of, is this, could it be deemed excess? What's our use on it? So staff will take an initial glance at it. A lot of times, I shouldn't say a lot, there are plenty of times when it's written off rate that, no, we actually have a need for this. You may not see anything on it today, but we know we
have.
But
we also do our own periodic assessment, right? And so I think one of the questions is what goes into...
What are the criteria?
What are the criteria that are looked at to determine whether something's excess or whether we'll need it?
The great guidance for that is through the Trust Indenture and the Toll Highway Act. There's about four criteria that we absolutely have to consider each and every time we get a request. You know, that there's no current use for any tollway facility. There's no presently planned use because maybe we're not using it as a toll facility, but if we're widening, let's say, the Jane Addams, we need that parcel, which we've had a few of those requests recently. You know, that there's also no foreseeable, we're not going to need that in the next 20 years because Paul's not going to need to use that field to widen. So we look at all of those when those requests come in.
Okay, thank you.
So that's the initial first glance review at the, you know, the 30,000 foot level. We'll write some of those off saying, absolutely not, we need this for something that they may not see. That doesn't mean the person will just be satisfied with the answer, they'll, you know, continue to probe.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if we promulgate a policy, maybe it would make sense to make sure that that's the sort of preamble.
It is, it's on page one.
Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, how we define what access will you be is an economic benefit.
Okay, great.
So some of the other things that we have incorporated into this policy, as I said, you know, we took this from other states. Consideration for prior owners and adjacent contiguous property owners. This might provide an opportunity for us to do a direct sale with somebody as opposed to a public bid. If we acquired property from somebody and now we no longer need it, or maybe we had a design change in the project, or something happened throughout the project, we could go back to, you know, go do a direct sale to the original property owner, or possibly to any one of the adjacent or contiguous property owners. These might be nuisance properties for us to maintain, and John's over here, so there's opportunities where it may be best for us to go right to the logical person to just do a direct sale at a fair market value. Speaking of valuation, we would look, you know, financial considerations that are considered. This is consistent with what we've had in the past. If it's a to a private, fair market value would be our lowest price that we would accept again during the public bidding process. If it is a clarify this, if it is a an agreement, not necessarily a public sale, this would be working with a public entity for, you know, some kind of an IGA. We've got an approach that, again, giving us the most amount of flexibility. It could be sold or transferred at fair market value. Sometimes, as we've seen on other projects, there the other party might have property that we need. You know, we see this more often as we're in construction. So it might be an exchange of equal property would be a possibility. If they have something that could be of use to us, then they could assemble our property and we might be able to assemble theirs to come up with some better uses for both our properties. But then, to give us some, again, more flexibility, if there's other terms, those could be negotiated through an intergovernmental agreement. If we do anything with a public entity, it will always go through an intergovernmental agreement. So it gives us more of the flexibility that would be necessary to do, you know, really what's in the best in public interest, looking at the information that was provided to us. What we have in the policy also is if it does go for a sealed bid, there would be a public notification process. It would go to a newspaper. It would go on a posted on the tollway website. It would also go on the procurement bulletin website that they have at the procurement board. And we could also do, you know, start creating a list and push information out as we realize there's, you know, a sealed bid. So that's a process that we would go through on for any public option. And then ultimately, as I said before, that we'll, as we did today and will always continue, we'll be looking for formal board approval
through the disposal process. So that would go through on the legal agenda through the FAA committee.
Rockwell, good question. Mm-hmm. So prior to this, you were just kind of handling these requests on a case-by-case basis?
As they would come in, is pretty much how we would do them. Like I said, we've kind of put, we're focused on buying land now, so we really haven't had many of these come up to the board, I'm going to say probably the last 4 years.
Okay, because I was curious as to the ones that you have dealt with, what has been the kind of the ratio in terms of we need this versus we don't need it?
Well, that's a great question. I would say at this point, as it relates to this year, we're more or less at 50-50 where we are finding needs just because we are in the middle of the capital program. I think when I first started about 4 years ago, we were able to define, potential access with encroachments and try to move those situations forward. We're dealing with municipalities on maybe small remnant parcels.
Thank you.
Much more conservative lately because of the needs that we have to deliver the capital. There's such a shortage of land available to store our equipment and materials and whatnot, so we've been very conservative on the projections. But again, now we're realizing, okay, now we're wrapping up the 297 project. We're well on the way on our Eligible Hair Western Access project. We're realizing there's likely going to be more opportunities to move forward. So that's the excess acquisition policy that we have. The other policy that we want to put out there in tandem with this, again, what we really want to do after today is get this in other people's hands, get it in the county's hands, municipalities' hands, people that we deal with, and have them give us some feedback on what works well for both of us and get that level of feedback. Annexation requests, we get a handful of these in a year. When the tollway was developed in the 1950s, there was a lot of unincorporated properties along the system, so some areas are trying to annex in, and some are trying to annex the tollway itself. They're trying to maybe annex up to a tollway right-of-way line. The reason they would want to do this is, again, for possible for development or redevelopment opportunities, to have more services provided to communities that are not part of a particular town, but to what we found recently, if anybody recalls, and there was a village of Green Oaks that we approved an annexation request maybe a few months back. What Green Oaks is trying to do is consolidate a bunch of properties. They found that at least 4/10 of an acre of the tollway that was not annexed into Green Oaks was fully surrounded by the village of Green Oaks. It seemed to be an anomaly. But this little 4/10 of an acre area, now we're not giving up any land per se, it's just the annexation of this tollway interest into the community. This little 4/10 of an acre was prohibiting them from consolidating and creating a much larger TIF district for development purposes. So a lot of times this is what we're starting to see, is that where our right-of-way lines are, cut off some boundaries. So we want to come up with something, again, to help address some of the community concerns that we do get. Informally, what we've done in the past, sometimes these annexations seem to be fine, you fully enclosed into one community. Other times it feels maybe, this might be a little bit more of a land grab or a hostile type of an annexation from one community into the next. What we've always done is said, what we'd really like to do is make sure that you, this requesting party, the requesting community, you go out and get approval from your neighboring communities that they're okay with this annexation request of yours. That's what we've always done informally, so we want to formalize that process that anybody who comes in with a request from us, that they provide that information to us. Again, getting a better understanding of how our project will be, how this annexation will help economic development or any community expansion. We want to make it clear that the tollway, if we do agree to be annexed, we're not going to necessarily comply with the local ordinances and our building codes and things like that. We want to still protect our long-term interest to allow us to do what we need to do when we need to do it on our property. And then we want to make sure that there's consideration and concurrence from neighboring communities, because this is what's really important, is making sure that others around feel that and are supportive of this annexation request. One thing that we left off on our last discussion was, never really got the answer on this, should the tollway see compensation for annexations? What we've kind of thought about in the policy is maybe there's some fees, administrative fees for staff time or any kind of consultant time necessary to put the paperwork or documentation together for this. Possibility of maybe an annexation fee comparable to a permit fee that we have today, or even possibilities for just flat out no fees and financial or in-kind service fee waivers when they provide emergency services. And these communities provide emergency service on us always for utilities, water service, whatever it might be. So this is kind of what's in the annexation policy. The annexation policy is much simpler. It's just a couple pages. But we want to kind of outline, again, a process for local communities to go through because we don't really have any.
So what's the feeling from the board? I think some feedback that we want is this issue of fees. I mean, is there an interest? I mean, I don't know, maybe Rocco or Joanne, you can explain how onerous it is for us on our side to go through this process, or is it not really that difficult? You know, what would the fees be offsetting? What kind of effort or work on our side?
I don't want to indicate that it's difficult, but obviously it's very laborious. It takes a lot of man hours to review these, you know, all the layers of the material submissions that come in. We were just looking at opportunities.
Do we have to hire any outside professionals to do our own surveying or anything? I mean, our own assessments or?
We could have to do that if the data that's provided to us is not what we have in our data. We may have to do that. Or if our data is incomplete.
Yeah, there's no one-size-fits-all approach on this. So it might be that it's a negotiated fee as we go through it. If we understand that if there is a need to do some work on this, again, you know, with permits that we have for, you know, overweights, that's prescribed fee. Or is this just what we as an agency are supposed to be doing? And, you know, when we move forward, so that's what we're trying to do, get some feedback on that. Right now, it's kind of laying in the policy. We say we'll have an administrative cost, administrative fee, and I forget what else we said before.
There's a couple of fee options, you know, like Rocco said, an annexation fee.
Or a permit.
Permit.
So I don't know if there's any thoughts, feedback on what, is it reasonable to, you know, assess these types of fees?
What happens when other public agencies do it to other public agencies?
Well,
are there fees when a township annexes from a county or something like that?
Generally not. I believe the fees are more or less like in-kind. It's for the trading of services. However, it's my understanding, and hopefully David, you can weigh in, the state Supreme Court has given us a wide latitude of autonomy, and in essence said, you know, the tollways can't be annexed. So, you know, one municipality could arguably annex another, but we've been given a very broad latitude with that to be able to maintain our autonomy. So as a result of that, are there avenues for which we can pursue? So that's what we're sort of looking at. If we're looking at a cost of either administration fee, if you do it based on man hours similar to our permitting, is it a one-shot deal? I think there are avenues, because we're also interested relative to land uses, you know, if it's an avenue with which to be able to recoup some sort of expenses.
I think it's kind of hard, you know, Rocco, you said, you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all when you come to these agreements. I think I agree with the philosophy that I'm not sure we should be underwriting the bill or giving something away. I mean, conveying a benefit and incurring the cost. With that being said, as Joanna referenced, you know, there's a lot of variables that can go into how you recoup that benefit and where that is along the way. I mean, I think it's something that should be considered. You know, I for one is
a case by case basis.
So maybe we look at, you know, to the extent we have to procure an outside resource or pay for something outside of just kind of tollway person hours or man hours, you know, we look at it that way, as, you know, not as much about, you know, thinking about our time of our staff necessarily, but to the extent there's a, you know, some special
service
that needs to be.
Outside of normal operations that will be bore by the party that's you own for the annexation.
I was going to say, you all do a great job of finding precedent and existing policies to support those types of actions. That would make sense.
I don't know if in our review of any of these other policies, Rocco, we saw these types of
things
or looked for them necessarily. So,
IDOT does this. This is just kind of a matter of course. That's what they do, and I think they have to go to, again, some kind of a landfill to get all of their stuff done. Bigger department there and that type of stuff. So maybe we keep this, again, maybe as flexible as possible is what I'm hearing. In the policy itself, maybe we say fees are going to be required for any outside services, or fees will be assessed for any outside services necessary to complete the annexation. Be negotiated. Is that time? Does that sound about right?
Well, do we want, do we want to limit it to fees? Are you saying limit it to fees? Or, I mean, because we talked about, you know, the in-kind portion of this, and perhaps, in some of these, that's a more, makes more sense to utilize an agreement like that. And I think that's what Director Sweeney was talking about as well. We need to have the latitude. Yes, we want to recoup this, and we want to do what's the interest of the authority. However, give ourselves some latitude so that we can deal with it and do it appropriately on each case.
Well, we need extra stuff and you can fall.
Not for sure.
So I'm trying to get the first presentation about speed limit and the example that John was using at Great America to line up with this. So if we're finding out when we're selling, for example, that future use is going to be something that's going to create a lot of congestion and or accidents, is that a variable that we would consider?
Absolutely. What we have done in some of these is entrances into the Great America, for example. It's really, it's the backup on there. The other area where we've had to deal with something comparable is at the outlet mall on Interstate 88, where we have required land and construction of some form of mitigating effort, storage capacity, having some input. If we are going to sell excess land to somebody for an assemblage of property, we want to make sure that the access into this facility, what we have done before, make sure an access to this facility is lined up with an existing traffic signal, not just in the middle of something. So it's really having protecting our long-term interests. So those are the things that we do and would look at it, what we would call access control. We just don't want to give up land and then find somebody just going to put in a driveway for this mega something to there. So we do regularly provide input on access. Now this would give us more leverage on the development, and then it takes out somebody else and puts back on us for the assemblage of parcels. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm just, I'm thinking, so you made them have storage or a bigger interchange or something, but do we still have an issue that there's got to be more state police patrolling, there are going to be more accidents, more of our maintenance people?
We'll do that. We've done this in other areas where we've got high entertainment areas.
But I don't know that we necessarily in our evaluation take into account, is it going to be such a generator that we're going to need more services.
I'm just
other
trying to
services.
Figure, I mean, you were talking about the immediate services to complete the annexation or the sale that would be offset by a fee. I'm thinking, are there long-term costs that
But there are
we
also
calculate?
Long-term benefits, right?
Yeah.
So, the increased revenue that comes to the tollway system generally living up to, I think, part of the mission that we've described for ourselves
right.
is economic.
Yeah.
Development certainly. So if there's some way, in the policy we talk about kind of tax generation and other things, but also an assessment of our own
right.
our
What's
costs,
the balance, right?
our costs, right? I don't know.
Not sure how you ever quantify.
Yeah, we would have to give some thought to that. I don't, obviously it's difficult to.
Can I maybe throw a suggestion? It's not necessarily an assessment of our costs. It's the assessment of the impact. What happens? I'll say one area in particular, in Rosemont. Nobody knows traffic management better than Rosemont because they've got high volume entertainment that happens at certain points in time, right? They've got Rosemont, whatever it's called, Allstate Arena. Always going to be the Rosemont Horizon. They've got the Allstate Arena, they've got the Outlet Mall, the theater, all right off the tollway system. On our projects and agreements that we negotiate with Rosemont in particular, it's the traffic management devices that are always put in. It's called FICL, basically. The officer stands out there and hits the button and changes the signal. And the cue detection that we have on our roadway, that's mandatory. So we put that back on the local entity to pay for cue detection in our pavement and also the traffic control devices that are associated with that. So understanding what you're saying, we try to address it from, and maybe there's a different way of looking at what additional services do we need to staff, but we try to put that on this back on the locals and say, you will be paying for this, or you must do this and this to address that long-term concern. John, right, that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, each week case is a little bit unique, but it's not uncommon for us to require that they allow us to interconnect our ramp cue detection system into the signal and mandate that they give us priority at such time in the future when their traffic is going to encroach on an unsafe condition on our road. That's not uncommon with the local. We have that with ILAD as well.
Yeah, we try to negotiate that in. Well, we do negotiate that into the agreements of that. Well, this is what we'll do. This is what we need.
So it's less about cost than cost avoidance, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, the management of that issue that we know may happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
So briefly, what we do with all policies, we put them out for public comment. We're going to do that also with this one. As you saw with sustainability policy, we do the same thing, compile all the comments, and then we'll look at the comments, revise the policy, and bring it back to you for approval. What we want to do next steps, we're going to, again, hopefully with your approval, put this out for public comment. The policy. We're going to engage some stakeholders. Like I said early on, we want to do some direct engagement with some of the key stakeholders that we have been working with over time. Make sure this policy works with both us and them. We'll be engaging with the local communities and the counties, but then also bring in some of the key legislators that we deal with on these projects as well. Typically, we put projects out or policies out for 21-day review. This is a little bit more complex, even by the discussion that we've had today. What I'm recommending, if you're okay with this, put it out for a 60-day review period. This would allow more time for us to directly engage others and have them give some more hearty feedback. And also, the 60-day review period allows us to bring this back to this committee at the May Customer Service Planning Committee if we're ready to go at that point in time. So this would take us through, I believe, May 10th or May 11th, and the next committee meeting will be May 18th. So if you're okay with that, as I said, then we'll get the comments back and review it with you. What we're anticipating, we'd like to get this policy finalized by mid-2015 to really start putting the information in people's hands, giving them a clear path of what it's going to take to get their projects moving forward. So with that, are there any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Can you flip to the appendix side? Is other factors affecting marketability code or community support? Or I know we spend time assessing whether or not we're being good neighbors. I'm just curious how that fits into when you were talking before about community meetings and stuff like that.
So these are the things that lay out here is that what us staff should really consider as we go forward. Just trying to get whatever information they may have. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have anything in mind. Mm-hmm. Other factors affecting marketability. What is there anything else that the local community would have? Is it this traffic component? Is that additional cost on this?
Yeah, mine is a more generic question. Where in that list do we have an assessment of the community pulse on this?
This was a list to try to see the others part of it. So
okay.
Right now
okay.
We don't. And this
okay.
is. What we'd be looking for.
I mean, I can't answer. Obviously, when the request comes in and when we ask what is it being used for, we'll be able to have it gauged. Is it going to be used for a public park? And then we have an understanding that there's a park need. Or is it being assembled to be able to work with the TIF and future development to get this assemblage back on the tax rolls? We'll be able to have that.
Yeah, but your question of community support, I think that. You know, and we've already done this, right? For instance, in annexations, if for some reason they're annexing us to get to another area, we ask for them to get the support letter from the other area to us. So some sense of whether it's a local resolution that's passed or the discussions at city council talking about this great park that they want and the broad support for it or what have you, getting some barometer that gives us a sense of the community support for what it is that they're proposing.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do with the interchange policy, so that might be something you
right.
try to bring into this.
It's
an excellent idea, yeah.
Okay, so we'll add that.
Any other thoughts? Anything else? Are we okay to go to public comment on this one?
So without objection.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you have anything else, Christy?
I don't have anything else. Thank you, Director.
Okay. Okay, so moving on, we have two items that are coming before the board for action. Then the first is approval of the sustainability policy. I will take a motion.
So moved.
And there's a second. Just as a point of clarification, this will be final action on this. This will not doesn't come before the full board. So if there's any discussion, roll call.
Director
Sweeney?
Here.
Yes.
Chair Wolf?
Aye.
Director Riley?
Aye.
Here.
All right. Thank you. Next, I'll take a motion on the amendment to the administrative rules. This would go before the board before then going through the process as outlined during the earlier presentation. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Sorry. Director, before the board, if I may, John, do we have one clarification on what's the tax or my aversion behind, just so we're keeping up with the paper flow? Do you know what I'm talking about, the Toohey Road, I-90?
When we studied the segment from I-90 on 294 North, the actual speed limit, which we have to be very specific with JCAR, will be actually from Toohey North. So
is that's a correction to something that's attached?
The second bullet,
on
the administrative rule summary.
Yeah, and it would be mile plus 42.5, we should say two, we have a little parentheses.
So the proposal will be to increase to 60 on 294 north of Toohey, but maintain 55 from Toohey down to I-90, that little segment.
So would the motioner, do you accept it with that change?
Motion to approve with the amended proposal.
And the second?
Sorry.
And that'll be changed before it goes before the full board?
Absolutely have it in the there. Track, for sure.
All right. Now roll call.
Director Sweeney?
Aye. Your motion to
aye. Right.
Move it to full board.
Right.
Director Castle?
Here.
No.
Aye.
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 Here and aye.
All right, so that will move on to the full board at our meeting in 2 weeks. Is there any unfinished business? Is there any new business? I don't believe there's a need for executive session. Does anybody have one? Seeing none, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Second. Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, we stand adjourned. Thank you.